might pull that if you want this one.
Okay. Not right this minute. If my guides come in, I'll freeze. They do, they come in and I start giving them
cold.
And I just freeze. And the air around me gets really, really cold.
Would you tell them to call me up a little?
Some psychic AC.
It is.
Your personal air conditioning.
Anyway, I was going to talk about misconceptions dealing with the healing formulas and or prayers. And it got brought to my attention, which I'm grateful for, because I didn't think about it one way or the other. It got brought to my attention that you might need to be gifted, psychically gifted, in order for the healing prayers to work and the liftings and so forth to work. But what you are actually doing with the formulas, you are asking in the name of Jesus Christ. So you're calling upon the energy and presence of the power of the blood of Christ and of the power of Christ. It has nothing to do with the person that's actually doing the healing. You're not even doing the healing. You're asking for that healing to be done in the name of Jesus Christ. And that in itself is all that's really needed. The wording of it is important in the sense of you want the energy and consciousness of whatever it happens to be. Let's say it's a tumor. You want the healing and consciousness of tumor, cancerous tumor. If you can find out the name of the specifics dealing with the name of the tumor, you call forth that. And the reason you do it twice, I'm not entirely sure, except that's the way they taught me to do it. And I tried to do it once, and it didn't work. So they taught me that I always had to do it twice. So energy and consciousness of cancerous or malignant tumor, I call thee forth through the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, come forth. Energy and consciousness of cancerous or malignant tumor, I call thee forth through the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Come forth. You don't have to have any abilities to do this. I release thee and unbind thee. That means you take the molecular structure of the tumor and break it apart. Turn thee from negative to positive. Dissolve and disperse the appropriate to the body through the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. And then that's said twice. Heal and be whole in the name of Jesus Christ. Again, you are using the power of Christ, not yours.
You're a vessel.
You're a conduit.
Okay.
Yes, Richard.
You still have to have their permission to...
Of course.
Okay.
Always. Now, you have to have permission of the individual that you are doing the healing on, because they may not want the healing, and it could have negative effects. And I always make certain that I don't do that kind of healing work on someone that's getting ready to have surgery, because the surgery can then cause problems with the healing itself. As the molecular structures are shifting and changing, and a surgeon comes in and starts doing surgery, it interrupts that healing process and can actually take it to a negative.
So how long should you wait between, or if you're going to do a healing prior to a surgery?
I would tell the individual that is already scheduled for surgery, I won't do the healing on them until after the surgery is done. Then I'll go ahead and do the healing. I kind of learned this the hard way, of course. I did healing on an attorney. He had been bitten by a brown recluse, and it was causing a hole in his leg. And they called me and they asked me if I would do healing work on this. I did the healing work. It began to reverse. He freaked out and went ahead and had the surgeons cut away. And he ended up losing his leg. It went askew. The surgery went askew. It had already begun to heal when he had that done. He didn't have the belief or the faith that it would continue healing. So from that point on, I don't do that anymore. Which is kind of sad. So I did do a healing on a woman. Well, I did the healing prayer on a woman that had a tumor on the pituitary. And when the surgeon went in, they found a yellow sac, empty.
Because the tumor had dissolved in the sperm.
Yeah. But it had enough time to do that. She didn't believe that the healing would actually work. Which is fine, you know. It helps if they do believe it. They have to be open. If they can reject your healing. It's their body, it's their right. They may say, I accept it, but in fact they're actually rejecting it because it's giving them what they need in the way of attention, gets them out of doing things that they don't want to do. I had one lady, she kept getting a brain tumor because it was the only way she could keep her husband. When she'd start healing from the brain tumor, he'd pack up and get ready to go. And she'd develop another brain tumor.
Wow.
Needless to say, you can only do it up to 3 times. Did she survive the brain tumor? No.
No relationship is worth that.
Yeah.
So,
who knows?
She thought some of it, didn't
I? Pardon? Yeah. People are unique in what happens to them, the how and the why. And you have to respect that. You really do. You have to respect that. But I really wanted to clarify that you don't need to have any special abilities to make these work. But you do need to develop seniority among the spirit community. You do need to do that. One of the neater things to do to kind of build up your own self-confidence is the water purification. I think that one's a lot of fun. It's really easy to do. You can take regular tap water, put it in a glass beacon, and put your hands on either side of it, and do the water formula, and it turns right into spring water. It gets cold and foggy, and it tastes really, really like spring water. So it's an easy thing for you to see that the formulas actually work. Now, if you doubt yourself tremendously, you're going to shut yourself down, obviously. So what you do, there's kind of a trick to that. You can doubt yourself before. You can doubt yourself after. You cannot doubt yourself while you're doing it. Simple? You have to keep your mind focused on the formula and what you are thinking and what you are saying. And it's easy because you're speaking it aloud. That helps you to keep that focus. Then you get it accomplished. Done deal. You can use it on food as well. Purification on the food. It can come in handy. I think, Richard, you've been doing the water and food purification for years, haven't you?
No, not for years, but I'm about to start doing that.
Really?
Well, I'm mainly using Muricon.
That's only for your body. Sorry.
Yeah, that's you know, and that was the main thing. But I've been thinking about the water and the food, so that's it.
Well,
not too late.
Another fun way to test yourself and to prove that it works is to fall and almost nearly break your ankle and then say the healing prayer and then be able to walk on it the next day. That's a lot of fun.
She did. She flipped her ankle over. You could see the mark under her ankle, and it popped.
It was bruised for like a good week. But I was walking around just fine. I said the prayer. Like, I literally stopped, said it, like, got up, and my friend was like, we were hiking. She was like, you'll be fine. Just walk it off. And I was like, no, you don't understand. Hobble back to the car, said it again, and then, like, said it consistently over, like, the next 3 or 4 days, and I didn't have any issues.
Yeah, she came in. It was fine. You could do the formulas on yourself. I was out in the woods searching for a body. Actually, two bodies. That's where I usually got my exercise. And
that's just sad.
Well, it wasn't boring.
No, I didn't say boring.
So I slipped and I pulled that inner part of my thigh. Oh my God. And so I was with some Laotians. They're lovely people. They truly are. And they said to me, they said, you can heal yourself. You heal others. You can heal yourself. And I went, oh, okay. I hadn't thought of that. So I went over, leaned against a tree, and did the healing, and I was fine. I had never thought to do it on myself. Mm-hmm. That was the first time I ever thought to do it on myself. And I wouldn't have, if they hadn't brought it up to me, I would have limped around for probably 2 weeks.
Until Carol told you to do it.
Yeah. Carol would probably say, why don't you heal yourself?
It just hurt. And I was like, oh boy. I was like, this is bad. I didn't really question it. I was gonna...
But it's good verification.
Why then do you sometimes have to go through that whole process of asking questions, using your fingers and tapping out?
Way back when, healing was way super easy. It used to be that I could basically say, heal in the name of Jesus Christ. By using the power of the name, that would do it. Then my guide said, okay, you need to learn more. So I went through a total learning process. I had to eventually learn what created the problems to begin with, what the root was, and how to go ahead and go to the root in order to do the absolute healing. It was a learning process for me. It's a learning process for you. It gives you insight into your soul level as to why you have it to begin with. Now, if you want to, you can do it the easy way, and you may or may not be able to do it that way. You may have to go through that full process. The whole purpose of any kind of disease or accident or anything along that line has a very important root to it. Now, you can get the healing, but you're going to do it again and again and again until you find out what's really going on with it.
And then when you find out, you have to correct it.
Then you correct it. The whole point of disease is finding out what your dis-ease is all about.
Don't look at me.
You look at all. Stare straight at me. Stare straight at me. I'll claim it all. I'll claim it.
Sometimes we have to go through some really rugged things because we're stubborn. I can't imagine any of us being stubborn.
Was it usually more like things you bring in that you have to work on are more stubborn and harder to heal? Whereas maybe if it was just an accident, I don't
really
know quite. I'm trying to see if there's a difference.
It could be from a past life.
It can be a past life anniversary.
Hard?
It can be a past life anniversary.
Or going
that
to places.
Kick. Pardon?
Or when I went to Mexico, mm-hmm. I had like an issue that I had to work out.
Yep. And that if you go to places where you had past lives, you can stumble into your past life and how you died, and you can nearly die in this lifetime.
Doodles are fun.
Hi, Jim.
No, it's not.
No, it's not. It's really hell. I've been there, done that, and I know what it's like.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
No, that's no fun.
But sometimes it's the only way we will get things done that we are determined to accomplish in this lifetime, that we came in to accomplish. So consequently, that's what happens. Yes?
If you go to a past life, and you've been drawn there several times, and you finally get there and get into trouble, when you go through it and correct it, does that end that cycle of it following you?
Yes.
And repeating?
Yes.
Okay.
Good to know, huh?
Although I don't know that I'd go to the exact same site where you got shot again. Just
not tested.
You know, just for the heck of it.
Yeah.
But if you do, let me know.
Well,
no, we're
no.
Not.
No. The reason I asked is, I'm sure Carol told you what I told her happened to me in the hospital just recently.
Yeah.
And I was told to stay out of all zones. And
battle zones.
All battle zones. Because I had managed to be in most. I mean, that was, to me, was like, quit messing around with.
I love you dearly. I really do. And you are forever in a battle zone. You spend your life forever in a battle zone. We're not going to get personal, but, well, just for a second. This is to stop the self-sabotage.
Okay.
It has to end now. Lifetime of it. It has to end now. That's your message.
Okay.
You have more to do.
Yeah, oh yeah, I was told that too.
Yeah. Okay, where was I?
Go around the circle and pick on us all one by one.
I've been known to do that.
That's a serious question.
I have a question from someone else, actually,
okay.
That wasn't able to be here tonight.
Okay.
The comet in September that's supposed to come very close to the Earth. Do you know anything about that? Have you been told anything about that?
I don't think it's going to strike us.
Okay.
Or if it is, it's not going to be here.
Not in America. Or not in Arkansas?
Arkansas.
Okay.
Because they'd probably tell me.
Okay.
Unless I don't have a choice.
But you got a little bit more to do than till September, I think.
I think so, yeah. I'm not concerned about it. We've got some terrible things coming, but...
What about the New Madrid fault? We haven't talked about that in a while.
I haven't had anything.
And nothing on it either?
Not yet.
Okay.
Did you say economic?
Nothing's happening on it yet.
And isn't there a big one in the Virgin Islands, a big fault in the Virgin Islands?
I honestly don't know. But I know you've got the Ring of Fire.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's all.
Well, the Virgin... Because my dad mentioned in passing, because I was like, you can't really surf in the Caribbean. I was like, so I really don't feel like we'd ever... Like, Texas would ever be the issue, like a tsunami. I feel like that'd be kind of hard to get a tsunami. He said that there's a big fault line in the Virgin Islands that, I mean, if that one was to slip, they could. Don't know where that was going, but fault line there? Any issues?
No, not to my knowledge. More volcanoes. Those are popping.
Everywhere, yes.
Yeah.
What about our Yosemite? Our big one that's here.
Oh, you're talking about
Old Faithful?
Yellowstone. Yellowstone.
Yellowstone's all.
That's nothing but volcanic. Yeah. That's all. It's just gigantic volcanic.
All the geysers, yeah.
The good thing about it is it keeps letting off steam. That's the good thing. So it doesn't have that buildup. Could it one day go, oh my God, yes. Have I had anything on it? No. But they do some great shows on it where you watch it blow up.
Well, in Costa Rica, I asked for a lot of protection, and the one, the big volcano in Costa Rica started going off the day I left.
Yeah.
I was like, well.
Yep.
Okay. Total different subject.
Okay.
Do animals get to choose their paths like people do? Or are they just at will, at God's will?
I'm going to have to ask. Just give me a second. I don't know. Right off the top of my head. To some extent, yes.
Okay.
And they do come back reincarnation-wise from past lives where you've had them in the past. They can reincarnate back into present life.
So they come back with you. My daughter had to put her dog down, so she broke her back.
Dogs always, unless they've been bound through magic or incredible tragedy, go straight to the light.
That's what I told her.
Yeah.
And I told her she could talk to her.
Yeah.
And then if we incarnate in the light, can we like match up with the dogs and say, hey, you're going to come in at this time.
Sure.
See you there.
Yeah, because they have lessons from us, not to the same degree that we do, but everything is growing and evolving, absolutely everything.
And they help us learn our lessons too sometimes.
They do, and in turn, hopefully we do the same. Yes?
Where are they evolving to?
Pardon?
What are animals evolving to?
Animals.
So
some of them surpass us.
Mm-hmm. Do they?
Yes.
Elephants? Oh my God.
Dolphins. Octopus. Very intelligent. Sorry. But yeah, animals they're always evolving. They're not evolving into us.
Just into better of them.
To better of them. And some of the better of them are better than us.
Well, that pretty much shows that they're smarter than we are.
Some are.
Yeah.
I mean, elephants, like if you watch like their behavior long term, like they will, like they're very mindful about where they step. They grieve like losses.
Horribly.
And there was one elephant that was tracking, a man was tracking like a pack of them for the tusk. One of them went back and killed the man. Like, after it had killed its friend, like, in retribution almost.
Yeah. Oh, the grieving process is, they have to go where the bones are, and then they do a ritual with the bones for releasing.
They're insanely intelligent.
Big cats are that way, too.
Yeah.
They're very orientated, like our, like, they're 100% more family.
Pack.
Than we are pack-wise. Yeah. I mean,
the packs do way better than we do.
Yeah, they cross-protect each other, and when one dies, they all have, you can see it just in their faces when you watch them.
Yep. How did we get off healing?
I asked about animals choosing their paths. Those are all my questions.
Animals. That's it?
Mm-hmm. I only have three. Sorry.
I know, I can't remember if we talked about this or if I dreamed about this or if I made that because it's all very possible. Didn't you also say that you were having issues with people calling in expecting to be able to jump right in and do all of the prayers at once?
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. a lot of the folks out there, they're getting on the web pages, and there's a lot of formulas, and there's a lot of information out there. And it kind of reminds me of the flower essences. When you read about flower essences, you want to do all of them.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do all of them. You want to do one, let it work, let it learn, let your body deal with it, because it can't deal with all of the formulas at once. You could blow yourself out. It's like taking all the flower essences at once. It won't work, and you can blow yourself out. So you want to do one at a time, hopefully the most important at a time, and develop and build, again, your authority.
And the only way that you can get that one person could be, per se, better at healing or have more better effects with the lifting is by developing more authority.
Yes.
Not by having better abilities. It's because of the dedication and the...
Correct. Dedication's everything. If the spirit community actually sees that you are truly dedicated, they will get in there and they'll assist you. They'll work with you. They know you mean business, and they want people to work with them, which is really kind of cool. So yeah, you start working like with the Legion of Pan, with animals, nature, your gardens. It's really neat. The Legion of Pan is wonderful. You'd be out there growing tomatoes and bell peppers and cucumbers and all that sort of thing.
That's what I'm getting ready to work with, because the animals and bugs get in my garden every year.
You give them a percentage. You tell them they
have. I did that to the squirrels with my pecans, and it worked great.
Yep. And they'll then protect in turn. So if you work in harmony and with nature, nature will work in harmony with you and make sure that you get provided whatever it is that you really need. But you also have to be mindful of nature too. It's kind of like you can ask, if you get an invasion of ants, which I like that particular one because I got invasions of ants.
Me too.
And I asked the Band of Mercy to please, I would ask for Diva of Ants to take the ants out of my house. They can take them anywhere they want as long as they're outside the house. And they didn't.
Because it was an animal message, wasn't it?
It was. It was a message that I was worrying about the little things. And that I need to let go of worry about the little things.
So they were totems.
They were totems. Nature gives you messages if you're aware enough to get them. If you pay attention to what's going on.
One spider across your pillow is a coincidence. Two spiders across your pillow is a message. I learned that one.
Absolutely.
No more spiders on my pillow.
And sometimes it's the ants. In the opposite, maybe you're not looking at the little details enough, too, correct?
Can be. It's the little things.
Yeah, it's the little things. Yeah. That's, I've been getting that a lot.
So what I did was, once I recognized what it was, I made the statement to the Legion of Pan, I will start paying attention, and I will no longer worry about the little things. And now I would cause the Diva of Ants to remove them, out, and they were gone. That was the end of it.
Thank you for the message. But.
Yes, and I, yes, thank you, always.
Usually they just go away on their own once you acknowledge.
Acknowledge it.
Yeah, they can. Absolutely.
But you do have the right to send them into the light if they don't.
You can. I asked them direct. I said, you know, I don't like killing anything. I can't handle it. And they told me, they said, it's okay if they're stupid enough to stay after being warned and after being told, then you have the right to do whatever it is that you need to do to send into the light. Okay. I'm here to tell you, when I found out that everything had this consciousness, you can get pretty paranoid about, you know, food.
But vegetables, carrots?
Yeah, carrots, biting carrots, radishes, you know, as they go screaming down your throat. I mean, you know, these people that come to me, I'm a vegetarian, I would never eat meat. I'm going, I don't know what the difference is. I really don't. Life is life is life. It is. It's spooky. I had to get past that, though. Because what I found out is that everything is in service.
That's what I was going to say. It was given to us for a reason.
And we, in turn, are supposed to take care of everything around us. Okay? I got paranoid. I like to go fishing. You know, hooking the worm or the cricket. Ladies, making faces.
I can see you with a fishing pole and a beer in your hand, just loving yourself.
I do. The worm's no problem. The crickets are a little, they
crunchy.
Jump around too much. Yeah, it's fine.
Well, I asked. Because it's when I got introduced, when I first got introduced into the consciousness of everything. So I said, well, what about the worm? And they said to me, they said, they are in service to the fish. They understand.
They're fishy.
And I was like, okay. Crickets? Yeah. Okay. I can go fishing.
Well, it's just, as they say, the circle of life. Each
circle
thing
life.
Depends on the other.
It does. Everything depends on everything. That's why when science gets in here and they're going to eradicate this and they're going to eradicate that, they don't know what they're doing.
Look at the bees.
Well,
bees
yeah.
are disappearing.
Yeah.
I know.
And there's... I mean, other than honey, there's big time.
That, well, they
negative.
Pollinate everything, all of our food.
Man cannot play God. Man isn't intelligent enough to play God. It's like people who say, well, I hate mosquitoes. Well, mosquitoes have their purpose here, too. Everything does. Their food. They
Martins
serve.
Love them.
They spread disease.
Definitely.
They help to keep the population down.
Diseases have a purpose. Do
Everything.
We do we like, I mean, do I like the thought of being killed by disease? No, not particularly, but
we need to respect. And we don't, we only want to respect what we like.
And what makes it convenient for us.
Yes. That's why we have to look into all those meticulous little details of healing. Every single thing has purpose. If you understand the purpose, if you understand the levels, then you get greater healing. And you get greater evolvement.
Instead of using cough medicine, maybe you need that antibiotic to knock it out. Instead of taking care of the symptoms,
yeah.
you need to take care of the source.
You need to take care of the source, root. Yeah, absolutely. It's okay.
And if it's showing up in your body, it's probably because you're ignoring it mentally, and you shouldn't think, well, that doesn't apply to me, because that's why it's showing up in your body.
Yeah, thank you for bringing that
Savannah.
To my attention. I love her.
I've done it.
Yeah, what you think you're not dealing with because you think that you've overcome dealing with it goes straight to the area of your body that deals with that particular emotion. And it's just mind-blowing. I have a friend. She is probably one of the sweetest, most giving, most charitable individuals I know. But she has seen some horrific things in her family that were just out of pure cruelty. And she began to want revenge. Now she's a Christian. She's a spiritual Christian. And she recognized that revenge, she didn't really want to go there in her head. So she just wanted there to be consequences. She relabeled it consequences, which I thought was ingenious. And she thought and thought and thought, God does give consequences. What will those consequences be and how soon?
She had a game plan for...
She did.
She gave God a game plan.
But she didn't recognize the negative part of it. She has lost one kidney and is in the process of losing the second with all of this.
So the kidneys are the house of, like, seeding revenge.
Acting childishly.
Hmm.
It goes into other things, too, but, yeah. And I read those to her, and she went, well, maybe. It's how you deal up here, or you don't deal. And I had somebody else that said, well, I don't even go there in my mind. No, it went someplace else in your body, and now you're going to have to deal with it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it comes out.
It does.
Whether it's a broken finger or extra weight gain or whatever.
Whatever the case may be. So whatever you're not willing to deal with in your mind and work through, it comes out somewhere in your body. Like if you worry about finances, you get low back problems. If you're a worrier and you get really upset, you have trouble with your intestines, colon, all that good stuff.
That killed my grandmother.
It's very dangerous.
Colon cancer.
Yeah. If you can work within this and work at your own personal evolvement. And I know it's a hassle, but I'm here to tell you, sometimes those illnesses are much, much worse.
What if you recognize that you're doing that and you still haven't got over it? How long does it take to get all that out before you start doing damage to your body?
It's doing damage. It's already doing damage. If you're rolling in that, there's still damage going on. It may not come out immediately, and it depends upon where it's aimed, whether it be the sexual, you know, ovaries, breasts, whatever. Every time you think a revengeful thought, it's like drinking a glass of poison. It's awful. It doesn't hurt them any way, shape, or form.
It just hurts you.
Yeah, that's what hurts.
You know, and you tell yourself that, but then that's... Well, it still just kind of slivers through your mind.
But you're getting help from the dark side.
Would that be considered a vexation?
Yes.
And how do you get rid of vexations, Carol?
You command it away in the name of Jesus Christ, and then you ask for forgiveness for all sins you have committed knowingly and unknowingly in the name of Jesus Christ. Stops. I'm not saying you don't have the right to your vexation, but it does no good except harm you.
You can also... I definitely don't want to harm myself.
No.
I'm not past that.
And then it's like they're double duty beating you up.
You can also forgive them on a soul level, too.
Yeah, you can forgive them on a soul level.
Yeah, but I need to help with that one.
Okay. The soul level, it's relatively simple. If you can take it out of the context of who they are now and what they've done, and put them in the context as being created by God in their absolute state of perfection, you forgive them on that soul level as a creation of God that was perfect, that went askew. You do not have to forgive anything that they did or didn't do. You just have to forgive them at that point of perfection.
Mm. You forgive the sinner, but you don't have to forgive the sin.
That's right. That makes sense?
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Because that one I can do. I had family issues with a few relatives that I really had a hard time trying to forgive them, and that's what my guides told me to do. Go back to their state of absolute perfection as a creation of God that went askew.
Okay, and so when you did go back and do that, did it wipe away any residual mess that's going through your mind?
Yeah.
Okay.
I felt relief. And they went out of my head. You know, the things that people do to you, sometimes they roll around and roll around and roll around. It went out of my head. Now, if they came back in, I didn't have to worry about forgiving them again. I didn't have to worry about forgiving what they did. It made it almost like I didn't have to take it personally. Because they went askew. Not because of me. They went askew.
It was their choice.
It was their choice. Or they got led or whatever the case may be.
It's their business.
Yeah. Not mine.
That's a biggie.
It's a real biggie.
Not taking other not taking anything personally.
Yeah.
That's an agreement that's really, really...
It is. It's very difficult. Because we want it to be personal. We want what they do to be done because of us, good, bad, or otherwise. Because that means we're important to them. Good, bad, or otherwise. So yeah, we want to take it personal.
But you can't.
I want to think that I have that much importance and power in my universe that I affect their universe. Well, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you're being truthful, you do. Sorry. Doesn't work that way. They are who they are. It doesn't matter who you are. They're going to be the same way to whomever. And that's when you really feel weird.
Is that on your website?
It will be.
Thank you.
Give me a few days to get everything caught up.
Okay.
I went through the whole thing with my mother and father and uncles and aunts and friends and just everyone. I depersonalized all of them. I forgave all of them. And on top of that, you don't want to be reborn back with them if you really don't like them. It's okay for you not to like them. It's your right. But I'm telling you what, if you don't forgive them, you lock into them for many lifetimes. And I am here to tell you, it's not worth it.
Wasn't there a woman who was in an abusive relationship with her husband for over several?
Yeah, over and over.
My goodness.
And over and over again. And it's just stupid. And you didn't have that many lifetimes. That was not true.
But there was more than one.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But those particular lifetimes, that it wasn't about you.
In the past or now?
Pardon?
Both.
A little stop here.
Category.
It needs to. It does need to.
It will.
Yep. It's amazing. My husband and I separated. And he would say these particular things to me. And I thought he was saying these particular things to me because of me. I made him react that way. Because I thought he was all about me. And when we separated, he went to work with another female. And I walked in and I heard him say verbatim, everything he said to me verbatim. And I went, oh my God. Nothing he ever did applied to me. It's never about me. It was about him.
Okay, here's a question. We were talking about the lifting. And you said that to protect yourself, you need to, with their permission, right, do the lifting for your spouse or anyone else that lives in your household.
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
It's better that you do, but you can do it for them because of the fact that you live with them.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. What if you can't get
those people to take responsibility for your for themselves. I mean, you don't want to stop because you're protecting yourself, right?
Then it only applies while they're under your roof, around you, in your household.
But you want to keep doing it to protect yourself.
You do it to protect yourself.
So?
Or you get them out. Because after a while, it will wind. It will kind of come in on you. It's like my God saying, if you invite the devil into your house, brings everything with him.
Makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Okay. So I've thought about getting a house and then possibly acquiring a roommate or two. If they're under my roof and I'm like the either the main one on the lease or it's my house, mm-hmm. do I directly have to have their permission?
It helps. It really does help.
But if there were for some reason, like crossing paths or somebody stays the night in my house, and I forget to say, hey, can I pray for you before I go to bed? And I say the lifting over my home and property.
It'll fly.
Okay.
Yeah, you can protect yourself. You can protect. I do it when I travel. I do it on all hotel rooms, vans that I travel in.
When I went on the cruise, I said it over all of the applicable like staff and crew that would be interacting with me. Mm-hmm. And I was walking past this like hallway, and this crew member looked at me with like honest to God black eyes and hate in his face. And my guides, they told me it didn't work over everybody. They're like,
but it kept him away from you.
But it kept him away from me, and it cleared everybody that worked with me.
Yeah, you can do that.
And so I was like, okay. I was like, I don't really care about him.
And you can ask for the captain's permission because he has absolute authority.
I never was able to get
to him.
To him.
Whenever I go to an event. Like, which I really don't go to so much anymore for good reasons. UFO conferences, metaphysical conferences, etc. I always ask them permission to pray for the protection of the conference.
The one that's
and
in
everyone,
charge of it.
And everyone that are there. And it always works.
I'm about to start asking my kickball coach if I can pray for the team.
Sure.
So we can get a little bit of extra help.
Yeah, well.
Hey, if we could get a coach, a kickball coach in the year, wouldn't necessarily be bad in some situations.
That's true.
Great. We'll talk.
Break. We, I mean, we're winning anyway without it. But.
Oh, come on.
We are. We won it last
Angels
year.
Angels in the outfield?
I mean, me. I caught a really good ball the other day.
Well, you can always ask for some spiritual help.
I do. Every time. When I have to get up to kick.
It can't hurt. On anything. It doesn't matter. That's what they're there for. And they love being in service.
Or recipes.
Oh, God. They love it. Questions? No.
So, can it end?
Good.
I was about to say, that's the look of, like, processing right there.
What else and then?
Well, you also have to ask if it's physical, psychological, spiritual, to find out the root.
That's when you do
kinesiology.
Right. I was coming back to what Steve was asking.
Yeah,
about.
That's all on the
way. Because it may not just be a physical thing. It's
rarely ever is.
Yeah, but this last time, the kicker was I didn't ask if it was about somebody. This time we asked if it was about me.
That's a whole different ballgame. We're talking. He's talking. You're talking apples. He's talking
oranges.
Okay. He had a situation where his solar plexus went off so dramatically that his blood pressure spiked, and he was
ice cream.
Huh?
Ice cream?
Yeah, ice cream. I told her about it. Mm-hmm. And I have learned that your solar plexus is God's sounding device in your body, letting you know there's something wrong.
It's your alarm.
It's your alarm system. And if you will use it appropriately, you can head off a major problem that could cause your death or dismemberment or whatever the case may be, and or relatives. So when this goes off, you immediately, what I do, I envision everyone that's close to me. I run their picture across my mind screen. And when it goes off, when I see the picture, then I know it's about them. I check myself first just because I'm in here. Huh. So then I run them through. And then once I find out who it is, I start doing my finger or kinesiology work to find out, is this dealing with, and this is the only time you use this for future, okay? But you use strictly your solar plexus.
Well, because you already know.
Yes, you do know.
So you're just asking something that you already know. So it's yes. Really not asking about the future because you've already been told.
That's you, on a subtle level, you're aware, that's why you're going off.
And that's a lot better than having to call everybody.
Yeah.
That's what I used to do.
But isn't it, and I'm not real clear on something, but isn't it because something happened that set a series of events and that's where things were headed? So
correct.
Even though it is a future event, I mean, it's in place now.
Yes.
Time is not directly linear.
That's correct.
It's a bunch of big mass of wibbly wobbly tiny whiny stuff.
Well, and I don't know, but it was possible. And it was likely, in fact, that this series of events was going to end to this one particular outcome. And as soon as everything fell into place, boom.
Yeah. Then everything calms down. In his particular case, it was his grandson. And it dealt with a birthday party. And he was in danger. And I got ice cream.
Bluebell?
I don't know. I just got ice cream.
I've done the recall.
Well, yeah, but there's another one they just recently did.
Oh,
another
really?
Recall
yeah,
one.
Yeah, there was, yeah.
And there's probably going to be some more. And that's what we got, and that centered him back down again.
And my daughter had just decided to buy, because we never do ice cream. They don't eat ice cream. But she decided, I want to get ice cream. And as soon as she decided she's going to do ice cream, but Mama had like stroke level.
Yeah. So, by learning the technique, the tool of your solar plexus, you can change the future. You can change a timeline. Now, if it was your grandson's time, there's no way out. Your solar plexus never would have gone off. There's no warning because there's no way to stop it.
Would that be considered a pivotal?
Yes. It is, in fact, a pivotal.
So they can even happen, like, so pivotals can happen even when you're young and you're not directly in control of...
Absolutely. Okay. Yeah. Pivotals anywhere. Newborn can have a pivotal.
I just was under the impression that that was something that you had to make the choice of yourself.
No, but your choice is involved there. But sometimes a pivotal can come into play as a lesson to loved ones.
And come into play at birth.
Yeah, it happens. We've been working with your, or I've been working
yeah,
with your,
my grandson, yeah.
He came in terrible shape. Did the prayer work on him? And
yep. And next day his lungs were clearing. That's it.
Good stuff.
And then he got jaundice, so she did another one.
She keeps me busy. Grandson. Yeah, Richard.
About timelines, are there any incidences during your lifetime which you may end up changing a timeline and
you
not
bet.
Know it?
Yeah.
And not know it?
Yeah.
Do you always come back to that timeline?
No.
Or is that permanent?
It's gone.
So you could be a different Carol from the one I originally met.
Yep, sure can.
I mean, isn't that
Hi,
kind of
Richard? Who are you?
Isn't that sort I'll of the point, though, to that. Grow? So you don't, I mean, I don't, people that say never change. No, I want to
No,
change.
That's not what he's talking about.
Gotcha.
These are actual nexus points where there are timelines, like the rays of the sun that come off the nexus point.
Chicken foot, kind of.
Pardon?
Chicken foot.
Like a chicken's foot.
No, like rays of the sun all the way around.
It works for me.
Okay. Timelines. Nexus. Okay. In that nexus, that point of nexus, and they're also connected to other nexus with other timelines.
It's like the dominoes like, game, chicken foot.
Kind of like an atom. Well, no. It's all the way around. It's kind of like an atom. The structure.
Yes.
Looking.
Like, similar. So, at that nexus, you will be presented with a situation. According to the choice that you make with that situation, it can set you on an entirely new timeline. Now, the weird thing about, and there's going to be a bunch of folks that are going, huh? The weird thing about these timelines are things are going to shift minutely, but there are changes. Like maybe a movie star died in the old timeline, they're alive in the new one. A relative died in the old timeline, they're alive in the new one. Things that you remembered on the old timeline are no longer on the new one.
So sometimes you're not nuts.
Sometimes you're not.
There's like a new Men in Black, and there was a character who could see all of the different possibilities going off of like a second. He was like, well, this could happen, or this could happen, or this could, and it overwhelmed the poor guy. He was sitting there, and he was like, oh, this one's happening. I need to leave.
Yes. But it's all according to the determination,
choices.
The decision, the choice that you make. They're rare, I will say that. Yes?
Do you retain the same spirit guide?
Yes.
So they don't change, it's just
no.
That's interesting.
So when you've had something, it's like, I could have sworn that I read that that person had died.
Could have.
That's quite interesting.
That is interesting, because I've noticed things, you know, over the last couple of years that, you know, and made me start thinking, see, I wonder. Yeah, but you won't know it unless you ask somebody who knows.
So you're no longer in the old timeline, you're in the new one.
Yeah, the new one.
Uh-huh. But theoretical physics says that every possible outcome must play out on some level. That's
scientist.
Would a big nexus have been December 21st, 2012? And things shifted, and then there...
Could be.
Could that have been like a worldwide nexus?
That was a deep... No, it wasn't a worldwide. No.
Am I thinking too much into it?
Yeah. It was definitely... a possibility of major shifts, catastrophes, and changes that were slated to happen unless events were changed.
Okay.
But events got changed.
Got it.
But the bottom line of that is we go through now other types of catastrophes.
Nepal.
It's just not all at
smaller
once.
Smaller ones.
Smaller ones, yeah.
We still have lessons.
Well, yeah, there's still lessons.
Ones that humanity is able to overcome, the little ones at a time, it helps.
Yeah.
Instead of the overall.
Yeah.
Where there would be
where
no...
Where we start all over again.
Right.
Because that's where we were
right.
Actually headed. Okay.
Break time.
Break time.